Rich Kimble here with you, and on the telephone line, joining us from sunny Florida, it's our friend Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you, man?
I'm very good. You are right out on the practice fields at the minor league complex?
Yeah, well, we actually, the things are done for the day at this point. I always forget what time they finish up, but I've been down here for a couple days at this point. Caught the AA and AAA games the last 2 days, actually. Went over to the Twins complex across town yesterday, and we saw things at JetBlue Park today. Weather, I think it's about similar to what I hear it's like up there, 70 and sunny.
Yeah, that's exactly what we have, yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Sorry. Well, we'll try and send some of this up towards you guys.
But, I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's always great down here for us because it's one-stop shopping for, you know, every minor leaguer in the system. So we've seen some pretty good stuff, learning some stuff, you know, reinforcing some things we already knew. And, yeah, we can't wait to finish up and write it all up. So,
well, let's start at the top with the guy who currently is rated as the number one prospect and who is certainly back. He's had some struggles along the way, some of them self-inflicted, but a very good spring training for Michael Chavis.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good when he was up in Major League camp, and I know a lot of people were surprised that Chavis was among the first cuts. And really what it comes down to is that, you know, Major League camp is really not where you learn a new position when you're in the kind of situation that Michael Chavis is in. And they want him to learn second base. They want him to get a little better at first base and have him get some versatility. And the thing is, in Major League camp, when you've got guys on pretty strict pitch counts, you've got guys, you know, you've got major leaguers at the plate and on the base pass. That's not the spot to have a guy who's a young guy in camp, probably not going to break camp with the team, extending innings, you know, learning a position. So that's really what it is. I've seen 2 days of camp. He's been at, he was at second base yesterday during infield, and today he was at first base. He played first base in the game I saw. And I think he was at first base the day before. Our director of scouting, Ian Kundle, was down here the day before. So, he's learning those two, you know, those sides of the ball. You know, offensively, he's got pop. We saw that in camp. But, you know, he also had to get 4 home runs, but he only had 6 hits. So, you know, there's certainly still work to be done at the plate there. He'll start the year in Pawtucket. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see him up at some point this year. Question is really the role based on his, you know, how he works defensively at all those positions and what they need, really. You know, could he be a guy that takes the second base and, you know, maybe gets a good deal of time if Pedroia never really gets back healthy, potentially. I think he's probably more likely to be a Steve Pierce type where he comes off the bench as he has for other teams, maybe not the Red Sox, plays some first, plays some second, maybe some third, maybe expose him to left field and just kind of gets his at-bats that way. Maybe a different player, but a similar role to maybe what Brock Holt has filled for the Red Sox.
Organizationally, third base pretty deep for the Red Sox. Bobby Dalbec, another guy who turned some heads, likely to be at Portland this year. What's his future, do you think?
Well, I mean, he's a guy that's in a different position where he can certainly field third base perfectly well. We think he's going to at least be an average defender there, if not maybe above average. He was actually the system's defensive player of the year last year, named by the Red Sox. That said, the Red Sox have a third baseman, right? So they're exposing him a little bit to first base as well. I haven't seen him playing it down here yet. He's been a third both days that I've been down here. He actually DH'd in the game yesterday over at the Twins complex. But, you know, as we saw in the Northeastern game, the kid's got pop. He actually went deep twice today against the Orioles AAA team. We actually got both on video, and you can see those on Twitter at Sox Prospects. So if anybody's interested in seeing Dalbec hit one off the batter's eye in dead center, an absolute blast, and he barely looks like he's trying to swing, check that out. But I think he's a guy who could be a regular. The question with him is, will he make enough contact to get to the power? You know, he has issues with strikeouts. He's always going to strike out. The question is keeping those to a manageable level. You know, you can't hit home runs if you don't first hit. So that's really the question with him. That's why, you know, that maybe there's an outside chance he breaks with AAA. He's with Pawtucket right now. But I think what happens is when you have some guys like maybe Lynn and Travis get sent back down, that'll push him down to Portland. And they'll just say, look, go to Portland, work on what you need to work on. Maybe midseason we move you up to Pawtucket. Wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't see Boston this year, but maybe an outside shot at a late call-up. maybe earlier if he gets really hot and solves kind of some of the swing and miss issues and cuts down on the Ks and continues to get to that power.
Boy, a guy who's had a great spring. They've used him in some pretty high leverage situations and may still make the team is Darwinson Hernandez.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because, you know, as we saw yesterday, there are still issues, right? I mean, the three walks in an inning, but somehow still getting out of it unscathed. And the thing with him is there's never a comfortable at bat with Darwinson Hernandez. The stuff's great. The fastball, you know, has great. He can really spin a fastball, give it that rising action. He's got a great spin rate on the curveball as well. Pretty good slider as the third breaking pitch. The question with him is throwing strikes and throwing good strikes. I remember one of his starts earlier in camp, Alex Cora saying, "Look, you know, you can't throw uncompetitive pitches at the major league level because major leaguers aren't going to chase pitches that are well outside the zone. You at least got to be around the zone, and that's something he needs to work on." It's kind of an interesting situation, though, because like you said, he's definitely in the running for a bullpen spot right now as a power lefty out of the bullpen, and it's weird where he's got this dichotomy of he either starts the year in Boston as a reliever or he starts the year in probably Portland as a starter. You know, he's probably not ready to start in AAA yet. So what we possibly could see happening is the Red Sox open with an 11-game West Coast road trip. I could really see Darwinson Hernandez breaking with the team. As we know, Pedroia is probably going to start on the injured list, maybe come back midway through April, one would hope. I could see a situation where Darwinson Hernandez is the extra pitcher that they take instead of Pedroia. He stays up, goes through that road trip, and if Pedroia is ready, then they send him up to Portland. And the, you know, look, the April Portland weather, there's a pretty good chance they're going to get rained out a bunch of times, right? Mm. I mean, you know, your listeners can just look out the window and probably are nodding their heads right now. So I think that's kind of the situation where maybe he just comes up and breaks camp with the team, but it's a situation like with Bobby Pointer and Marcus Walden last year where that doesn't mean they're up for the season. That just means right now he fits what they need, and that might change, and that would still work with his development goals of he could potentially start. I don't want them to give up on him as a starter. This is not a system that has a ton of starting pitching prospects. I think they need to give him a chance to try and do that. And I think that would be a way they can kind of serve both masters a little bit. And maybe later in the year, they call him back up as a reliever. Now he's had that chance to pitch in the major leagues and he's not going to be, intimidated by taking the mound at a Fenway Park or, you know, Yankee Stadium.
We're talking with Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. Another guy, I think it was Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal, was talking about him with us the other day, who's impressed the folks in camp. I don't know a whole lot about him, but what can you tell us about Durbin Feltman?
Yeah, Durbin Feltman was their third-round pick last year out of Texas Christian. And Feltman was the closer at TCU. He's basically already got two-plus pitches in his fastball. And it's a slider, but it breaks like it's a curveball. It's incredible. He's got two really good pitches. It's a max effort delivery. No chance he's a starter. And he's been relieving since he entered the system. So I don't think they're considering starting him either. They're definitely not. Last year he pitched at Lowell, but got a call up to Greenville, got a call up to Salem. He's going to start the year in Portland. That's who he's with in camp right now. I think he's going to pitch in the majors by midseason, honestly. He's ready. The question is things like pitching on back-to-backs, pitching in a true closer's role. You know, relievers in the minor leagues have very structured usage. You know, there are very few minor league relievers who will pitch back-to-back days, 3 out of 4, et cetera. And I think what they need to do is start giving Feltman that kind of experience in the minors, see how the stuff plays. The other issue is just, you know, does the stuff play over a full, 162-game season? So they just need to make sure the bullets are going to be there when they need them rather than call them up and find out the hard way. He's a guy who I think could pitch. I don't think he's a closer quite yet. Maybe he's a future closer down the line. At the very least, I could see him pitching in a setup role. If this season, if everything goes right, maybe that happens. That said, you know, I think they're really kind of playing it dangerously with what they've done in the bullpen. I think they really should have added a lot more depth to the major league bullpen over the offseason. I don't think they can necessarily rely on Durbin Feltman or some of the other guys they'll have in starting in AAA, like Travis Lakins or some of the minor league free agents they signed, like Erasmo Ramirez, Jenry Mejia. These are all guys that I think you can maybe hope that come up and pitch in a middle relief role, but, you know, they're going to need Matt Barnes and Ryan Brazier to do what they did at the end of last year, and maybe a Tyler Thornburg or a Brandon Workman or Heath Hembree to step up and be the number three guy. But Feltman is a guy who maybe later in the year could help ease some of those depth questions.
Chris, in recent years, Greenville has been the place to keep an eye on as far as having guys that seem destined for the parent club down the road. Is that where much of the future talent will reside this season, too?
You know, it's a very interesting lineup, and I think what we've seen in camp so far is the one that I'm most interested in. We'll have to see how things shake down when the final few cuts for Major League Camp come down and shake everything out. But in Greenville this year, you mentioned the depth at third base. That goes all the way down to corner infield in the lower minors as well, because last year's draft, then at the Red Sox, a trio of really good corner infielders, and Tristan Casas, their first rounder, Nick Northcutt, their 11th rounder, who they gave a well above slot bonus to sign him out of a commitment to Vanderbilt, and kind of a more unheralded third baseman named Brandon Howlett, who they picked later, who they signed out of a commitment to Florida State. But I guess basically they signed him and he fixed an issue with his, he got new contacts, and that just kind of fixed a lot of stuff. So they've got three guys who could potentially be on the drive. I wouldn't surprise me if maybe like Northcutt stays behind and extend his spring training to go to Lowell, just because there's only so many at-bats that can go around for corner infielders. Casas is a guy who, you know, if all things break right, maybe he's Freddie Freeman. We see him moving across the diamond to first base. He's a big dude. There's a lot of moving parts there. And while he's got a plus arm, he hit 90-plus off the mound in high school. You know, I just think he's a better fit at first base. Could be a very good defensive first baseman. Plus power. Like I said, he's a big dude. Hits from a crouch and kind of has this nice uppercut in the swing that gets the ball going really far. At first base, I think the battle play, if everything breaks right. Meanwhile, Howlett's a guy that's just kind of more athletic. Good swing. Had a really good debut last year in the Gulf Coast League. Opened a lot of eyes. I want to see what he can do over a full season. Another guy who we hope can break camp with Greenville. We think he's fighting for a spot there as the second rounder, Nick Decker, an outfielder out of New Jersey. He's a center fielder right now. You hope he stays there. Most likely he's going to have to move to an outfield corner. Again, another guy with plus raw power. They really picked a few guys who had good raw power in the draft last year. Those are some of the guys who fill up out the Greenville lineup. We're really interested to see how they do. One other name to keep an eye out for is Anthony Flores, shortstop, who was in the Dominican Summer League last year. Would have gotten a little bit of run in the GCL, but for a couple of injuries. He's a guy that could break camp with Greenville as well as an 18-year-old. Average tools across the board, but there's really no weaknesses. He doesn't really flash a great glove. He's not got great power, but he's just kind of at least average to above average at everything. And if everything breaks right, you know, he'll just be a guy who doesn't have any holes in his game. And he's a, you know, major league regular to a little bit better in the majors, but to already be projecting that way as an 18-year-old, you never know what can happen. Things break right, maybe plays above that projection. But those are all guys that are going to be in the Greenville lineup, all guys that are probably, you know, at least 3 years away, but all guys worth keeping an eye on in the low minors.
Chris, what's the timetable after Tommy John surgery for the return of Jay Groom?
Yeah, you know, Jay Groom is a guy, it's kind of interesting. It's looking at the top of the system. We rank Chavis number one, but other lists nationally ranked Dahlbeck, who we talked about, Darwinson Hernandez, and I think there was one more who was ranked number one by a different list. Tristan Casas, who I just talked about, was ranked number one by Fangraphs. But no one ranks Jay Groom number one, but it's interesting because if he had been healthy, Jay Groom probably is a no-question number one talent prospect in the system. The problem is that last year, he missed the entire year after getting Tommy John surgery in May, as you mentioned. I think the club hopes he'll be back on the mound in late June or perhaps July at the latest, early August, if everything's going well. That's kind of the projection for him. And he's a guy who, you know, he missed most of the prior season with a strained lat. So he's really got some reps to make up. I really hope that he comes back. And, you know, the thing for him, the goal, is just to come back and get innings this year. It's not what it looks like. It's not results. I bet they'll probably send him back to Greenville. Maybe if everything goes perfect, give him a start or two in Salem. We saw him today. Looks good. Not throwing, just he was there. You know, he's keeping the body in shape, which is good because he's a big boy. He's going to have to maintain that body. But if he does, he'll be a guy who can eat a lot of innings for this club for sure. But after a Tommy John and missing the entire prior season, he'll miss at least half of this season. He's going to have a lot of time to make up for. So hopefully he gets maybe 40 innings regular season, pitches an instruction, and then comes in next year, you know, hopefully with an assignment to Salem, maybe even Portland if all goes well. But he's a guy you can't give up on yet because there's a lot of talent there for two-plus pitches and a pretty good third pitch, pretty good command and control as a high schooler. A guy who could have been the number one pick in his draft but fell to the Red Sox at 12. It would really be a shame if the Tommy John derails him that much. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Sometimes it comes back. It's not necessarily a sure thing, but the Red Sox certainly have their fingers crossed, I'm sure.
Nobody covers this system like SoxProspects.com. Check it out for yourself. Chris, always great to talk with you. We appreciate you making time. Enjoy your time down there in Florida, and we'll check in again when you get closer to the North Country.
It sounds like a plan. I appreciate it. And, yeah, it's going to be an exciting season. Make sure everybody checks out our Twitter account, at SoxProspects. That's where we're putting a lot of our minor league spring training content, a lot of videos, a lot of scouting reports, things like that.
Fantastic. Chris, thank you much. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Rich. Thanks.
Chris Hatfield, SoxProspects.com here on Downtown. Our Boston Insiders come your way every day on the program, courtesy of our friends at the Ground Round, your locally owned and operated Ground Round on the Odlin Road in Bangor. Specials during games, so much going on with March Madness. Check it out for yourself at the Ground Round.